This is Illinois Edition. I'm Brian Mackey. On Sunday, House Speaker Michael Madigan issued three demands for the budget. One of them was for Governor Rauner to sign Senate Bill 1. This is a massive change to the way Illinois funds schools. But he also said he was open to further negotiations changes in that bill. So we're here with Education Desk reporter Dusty Rhodes to get a refresher course on just what those changes might be.
Okay. We could play 20 questions, but I think you only need one. So can you guess?
I'm going to say something having to do with the amount of the pie Chicago gets to eat.
Yeah. Chicago's the answer. The House met on Saturday to discuss the school funding bill. They discussed it for 2.5 hours. Dr. Beth Purvis, who is the governor's Secretary of Education, in her opening remarks, she kind of spelled out his objections to the Democratic bill, which has already passed both chambers. You have to listen kind of closely if you're new to this conversation, because you might not hear her say the letter CPS for Chicago Public Schools, but believe me, everyone else in the room did.
House Amendment 1 and 2 transform this bill from a school funding reform bill to a school funding and CPS pension reform bill.
She was there to support the Republican plan, which is literally copy and paste from the Democratic plan, except for those CPS items.
Didn't like a week ago she say that the governor liked 90% of the Democratic plan, but planned to veto it anyway?
Yes, she did say that, and apparently she's been reminded of that remark, and she had prepared kind of a comeback. So here's what she said.
I've been much quoted on this, and I would like to say that where I've been criticized on this, I wouldn't get in a car that the brakes only work 90% of the time either.
You know, both sides, the Republicans, the Democrats, and the governor, and Beth Purvis herself, all agree that this current formula doesn't work. And under this formula, one area that's been shortchanged for years, actually dating back to the Quinn administration, is transportation. School buses.
Yeah, I guess some people would say, you know, a car with 90% brakes is better than the car with, you know, 40% brakes or whatever the current system is, maybe. So back to these two plans, the Democratic plan, the Republican plan. These things normally come with these spreadsheets, with lists of how each district does. So how do these two plans compare?
Okay, so there's spreadsheets for both. They're on the State Board of Education website. They're very different, but both of them should have a giant asterisk because these are models. They're simulations. They are not legislation. I'm not sure people keep that in mind. I want to quote two very wise people. One is a good source of mine, someone who's been doing this a lot longer than I have and is a lot smarter than me. And that person said, quote, "I would say all models are fake news. And anyone voting on a bill because of how much their districts are going to get is an uninformed person." And the other person I'd like to quote is our journalistic godfather, Charlie Wheeler, who says, "Read the bill." So the bill is what would be engraved in stone. And those numbers from both sides are just kind of snapshots of a promise. The other thing to look at is that they run vastly different amounts of money through this new formula. The Democratic plan, which is sponsored by Senator Andy Menar and Representative Will Davis, uses $350 million in their model, despite the Democrats' own appropriate bill only sets aside $288 million. The Republican plan, which is sponsored by Senator Jason Berkman and Representative Bob Pritchard, runs $672 million through the new formula, which obviously results in much larger dollar amounts promised to each district. But I can't really get a good explanation where that $672 million comes from, except that most of it comes out of Chicago Public Schools and this thing called the Equity Grant, which was money given to districts with lots of low-income kids. Here's the way Berkman explains it.
When you make adjustments to the base funding minimum for Chicago, and that's the only place where adjustments are made, that eats up dollars first that cannot then go through the formula. And for all of us who purport to say we want to fix the formula and create something with equity, the way in which we do that is by driving money through the formula.
So those adjustments to Chicago are this thing called the block grant, and what, the Democrats were going to give Chicago some help on their pension costs, right? Chicago's the only district that doesn't get pension support from the state.
Chicago Public Schools, like you said, pays its own pensions. No other district does. The Democrats handle that inside of their school funding bill. Republicans put it in a separate bill that would cover CPS normal costs for a year and then possibly continue that appropriation through Senator Bill Brady's pension overhaul bill. So a couple of other bills would have to pass to make that work. I want to play this clip of Berkman explaining why he doesn't think pensions belong in the school funding bill. And he's referencing the governor's school funding reform commission that met back between last July and January.
There's a very specific discussion about whether, in fact, we should broaden the scope of our objectives and try to tackle pensions along with fixing the formula. And the conclusion, driven by members of both sides of the aisle, was that we should treat them separately.
I actually attended all those commission meetings, and I have a little different memory of that. And so I went back and checked my notes, and there was a vigorous debate about pensions. I actually did a story on that because what we're currently paying in teacher pensions ranges from $300 per pupil to $1,400 per pupil, depending on which district you're talking about. So you can tell that's a huge part of the inequity. But that commission had more Republicans on it than Democrats, and it was run by the governor's czar, Beth Purvis. So they had control of that discussion. But the thing about both of these bills is they use this model that's kind of think of it like a mobile, like, is that what you call it? Like what's hanging over your kid's baby crib? Mm-hmm. So like if you pull down on one side, another side goes up, right? So each district gets an adequacy target, that's how much they need, and a capacity target, that's how much they've got. And the state's supposed to fill in between, right? So here's Ralph Martiri from the Center for Tax and Budget Accountability. He helped write Senate Bill 1, and he's trying to explain how Senate Bill 1 handles those legacy pension costs.
The way we decided to deal with that in SB 1 was to acknowledge they can't spend the same tax dollar twice. So if they have to devote their local capacity to covering these unfunded liability costs, that local capacity is not available to also fund schools.
So I guess that's less like a gift, more like a tax deduction?
That's kind of the idea. And so Dems consider that a compromise.
So ultimately, Dusty, who is going to win? Which side is going to win?
You know, both bills are so similar, but there's a lot of levers inside, and they're tinkering with those levers. So the Democratic bill is the only one that's cleared the procedural hurdles already. It's got backing from more than 400 superintendents. So it's really just going to come down to whether or not the governor wants to sign it.
And of course, the governor has promised to veto Senate Bill 1, but that was before House Speaker Michael Madigan made it one of his key budget demands. Dusty Rhodes is our education desk reporter. I'm Brian Mackey. This is Illinois Edition.